With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Maddity Matt Knight.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
It is indeed very hot. Welcome, dear listener. I don't know where else there are heat waves, but...
Apparently everywhere.
Is it everywhere?
I guess for our American listeners, it's... So my flat right now, it's 39 degrees.
What's 39 in American?
In Fahrenheit is 102, which I guess for some people it may be like Southern California or whatever. Or
it sounds more dramatic, the American way of measuring
does,
temperature, doesn't it?
It's also less accurate because zero is not freezing. It's more than freezing. So, yeah, I guess it's hot comparable to, I know that, yeah, US, Australia will have super hot days, but for England, it's our first ever red heat warning, yeah. Which they only introduced 2 years ago when we experienced the hottest day ever, and we've already beaten that. So
it's so hot. You're not even wearing a shirt.
I am just wearing a towel. No, I've got some pants on. But it's really hot. It's obviously hot for our beloved pets. All my windows are open. All my curtains are closed. And I just have a fan because aircon does not exist.
That's it. All the houses in the UK are designed to keep heat in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all my guitars feel incredibly warm.
Oh, my guitars are all over the place, setup-wise.
Yeah,
I left one in my garage probably the last month. Whilst there have been big temperature changes, it's like a bow and arrow. I need to sort that out, really.
Yeah, it's not good weather for guitars in England. No. And I think we've had a couple of weeks of it being really hot, and then we've got this mega day today and tomorrow. It's going to be 40 tomorrow. And then back down to the usual 20s, which, to be honest, mid-20s, I'd be quite happy with a cool, calm 21. Bright sunshine, little bit of breeze, enough to sit outside, but you put a jumper on when you're having your beers in the park about 8 o'clock. And then you get incredibly sunburnt, and that's the British way.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
But it's one of those things. It's just like, yeah, it's very hot and slightly bothered, but we'll get through it, Joe.
We will. I spent 45 minutes on my elliptical machine before coming on this podcast. So I'm smelling pretty fresh right now.
Well, funny enough, the roundup of our week, I've had no hot water since Thursday.
That's not a problem at the moment.
So I'm like, well, if I need to have a shower, I have to go to the gym. So it's been an excuse to go to the gym every day and experience the aircon and the showers. not been so bad, to be honest. It's been one thing, but yeah, probably just want to have a cold shower at this point. Can't even really play guitar because. Why not? They get really hot, obviously, valve amps, and because I'm on a flat and in a terrace, don't always like having the windows wide open when you're blasting a bunch of fuzz. So yeah, if I close the window or anything like that, it just gets too hot, just way too hot in here.
Yeah, that is true. Well, I had to. Mondays I have a lot of filming, a lot of recording, so that requires me putting up these like blackout blinds over my windows and shutting the windows as well, and then putting on artificial lights, which turns this place into an unbelievable hot box.
Right,
which is terrible, but it was good fun. I was I've been doing this like this musical side project thing with my partner Emma, and we've been writing this stuff casually over the last couple of years. Like I have an acoustic and one of my electrics with a little Positive Grid Spark downstairs in the lounge. Emma has her piano down there, so we'll jam around on those things. But I'm finding more and more as we're developing the ideas that what it actually needs is an acoustic. The guitar parts I'm writing, just they're more suited to acoustic. And I was kind of like, I don't really have a great setup for recording acoustic. I don't really have anything solidly sorted. Fine, I've got that Yamaha Trans acoustic, which you can plug in, but I certainly don't want to use that. Like, I don't want to plug in. I hate that sound, the plugged in acoustic sound. It sounds like a, like Creed, or you know, instrumental 90s, or sorry, chilled out 90s rock, you know, when like big rock bands have to do chill out bits. It's always a plugged in acoustic and it just sounds garbage.
It's like when I remember the first time I think I plugged in the Slash Les Paul that had the piezo, and you don't realize, and you like flick a switch, oh my god, that's incredibly harsh. And yeah, piezo, as some people might call it, straight into a Fender Hot Rod Deluxe is the worst possible sound ever.
That's so much treble.
Yeah, I just don't know. But yeah, I'm with you. Acoustics, very, you know, I guess, I do like the sound of a Martin D18, and it's got all those kind of like mic models and stuff in it, hasn't it? Uh-huh. I think the electric one, but
sure,
nothing beats just trying to capture it with a bunch of good microphones.
Exactly. So this led me to two things. One, I've got this really nice Art and Luthery. It's very nice, but it's still like it's like a little parlor guitar. It's lovely, but it's like £500-600. So it's obviously like a laminate top. It's designed around looks more than it's designed around sounds. And I was like, well, I should probably be caring about this sort of thing a little bit more. So one, I'm on the hunt for a new acoustic, a really good acoustic. And dear listener, I need your help and advice, because there's only so much I know. I'd love some welcome advice on parlor size things. I've got some suggestions that I'll come back to. But the second one was how I was going to record it. I was like, well, maybe I get a pickup and put it in there. I was like, no, it's still not going to be good. What I need is a good set of mics. And friend of the podcast, Dan Pilver, came to the rescue. Also, he has a great taste in acoustics. So I hope he listens and answers me on what I should get. But he sent me some Lewitt mics to see what we thought of them, and in fact, Matt, we're recording with the Lewitt mics with the 440s at the moment, and they've been a fantastic upgrade to the podcast, super clear and a whole bunch of clarity. If you listen to the episode with ads, dear listener, then last week I put up a little ad where I showed you what the 440s sounded like on their own without any production. I compared it to another mic that we'd previously used, so you could kind of hear the difference. But they're very good. We've been very impressed with them. And one of the other things I got sent was the Lewitt LCT 140 Air, which is a stereo pair of mics, a matched stereo pair, which have they have like two different sound characteristics on them, and they are absolutely designed for acoustic instrument recording, which is very, very useful. So I can set those up on a little dual stand thing, and I can angle them appropriately to get that sort of perfect stereo style recording. And sort of one aimed more at my right hand, one aimed more at the board on this little dual holder. Very good, very useful. And the quality I was getting was great, because the other thing, I was listening to some demos that me and Emma had made that were done on the on the spire, on the isotope spires.
Right.
And the problem was, whenever I record on the spire, I'm like, yeah, put reverb on because, you know, reverb makes everything sound better. But actually, when you listen back to it, I'm like, on an acoustic, this just makes it sound like 80s music, or like some weird sort of like 90s lift music. It's just bad. An acoustic needs to be just like dry. Like, you need to hear my hand sliding around, or at least that's what I want. I want it to be just really, really brittle and dry and detailed. And I was very, very happy with the results. So I think I'm kind of set. I think this is like my recording setup now for acoustic, and I expect this to be much more difficult.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I've never spent a lot of time miking acoustic, but I know what you mean. You kind of really want the whole sound of the guitar to come through, don't you, first?
Yeah.
And I guess it's the same as capturing a great guitar cap. I've seen some crazy mic positions, obviously, because you've got sound hole. I know some people, I can't remember who it was, I think it was an interview maybe with... I want to say, like, I'm sure it's like Baroness or someone. It was some sort of like, you know, proggy rock band. They were saying that they, you know, they like mic up the fretboard. So you're getting some of the like string noise and stuff like that as well. You're getting some more of the human element.
Yes, that's what I want.
You know, I think some people have like done, you know, various. I mean, there's just so many great ways that you could record an acoustic, but I guess a really good stereo pair straight in front of the sound hole perhaps, but then again, straight in front of the sound hole, you're going to get something really direct, aren't you? How do you get it to breathe a little bit more? Room mic maybe as well on top of that,
maybe, something like that. I mean, I imagine the 440 actually wouldn't do a bad job of that.
Have that along with the stereo pair could be a good little shout.
Very possibly. But yes, this whole thing, you know it was sounding so good, and I was like, damn, you know, I really want this to sound even better, and the way to get it sounding better would be to invest some money in a good acoustic. So I don't know. I don't know where to go. Dear listener, help me out. I kind of like parlors. You know, I play a lot of 12 frets, but it doesn't have to be. I don't mind 14 frets. I've been looking a lot at the Eastman Traditional. They do an E1000 SS00, which you can get in Sunburst. I'm a sucker for a Sunburst acoustic. And that's got a lovely sort of very small kind of bunched at the midway parlory size acoustic, and that's kind of exactly what I'm looking for. They're like £1,200. I figure that's a good price for an acoustic, the £1,200 mark.
I would very much go with, I think acoustics more than anything, you've got to play a couple, haven't you?
Oh, do you think I should actually
I think so, because I think, well, I mean, I guess electric guitars are the same, but, you know, I feel confident that I could pick up a Squire Mustang bass and go, you know what, I'm pretty sure this is going to be all right, and play it and it be pretty good. Whereas an acoustic, I'm like, and maybe it's just because we're not in that acoustic world, I would really struggle to like go, this acoustic is great and I want to spend £1,000. And
that's a good point.
Definitely know that it's going to be good. And you might even get one that's less money that's really good.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Martin do their OX1E, which is their sort of new entry level. So it's like £500 for a Martin. But I do worry that when a brand with as expensive a baseline as Martin do affordable models, they're probably cutting an awful lot of corners because it says Martin on the headstock.
Maybe. I mean, what sort of body size are you thinking about going? That's where this, you know, talking of guitar nerds, of which we kind of are, I have always struggled with acoustic because I've just never lived in that world and all the different body shapes, especially when you get to like Taylor and I'm like, I have no idea what these mean. But for
I wouldn't touch a Taylor because they're tasteless, but I would.
Harsh. I think
they're the PRS of the acoustic.
Taylors
world.
Have a very, very, I always thought had a very modern sound and they have a very modern approach to building. And,
exactly.
You know,
none of those things appeal to me. But, no, but yes, you're right. They're very good.
If you want more classic and, you know, history, I guess. Yeah, Martin, which we were saying, I think, on the podcast the other day, first Martin's, what, 1833? I mean, the Dreadnought for me has always been the preferred body shape, a non-cutaway Dreadnought. I mean, I just go, am I realistically, unless you've got an electroacoustic, are you really ever going to go above the 10th fret? Ever?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd never get anything with a cutaway, don't be tough. But I do like a small body size. I'm a sucker for a parlor.
Okay.
So, you know, I think I would definitely go parlor or something around that size, and it would have to look classic. I mean, even some of the new Fender Paramount stuff, there's not been bad. They're certainly having a fair old crack at trying to make good acoustics at Fender at the moment. I mean, they quite don't have quite the rep for it yet, but I certainly wouldn't write them off, and I would like to try some Fenders maybe.
Yeah, I definitely think they're good. I'm trying to see what else is out there. I mean, I remember when I was at Anderson's, Faith always did some good guitars. I mean, we sold like more Faith than anything, I think. Because they were just really good value. They just kind of had that nice sort of satin feel to them.
They do. Unfortunately, not vegan, so they're out of my
wheelhouse. Interesting.
Abalone.
Right, okay. Yeah, the Fender PS220E. They do it. That's the electric acoustic one.
The PS220E is exactly the Fender acoustic that got me interested. But it's like £535, so I assume it's like a laminate top.
Yes, I mean, I think that was always the advantage with Faith, was that they were always a solid top.
Yeah.
Which made them so good for the money because they always were a solid top. I don't know. I mean, one other brand that's coming up is Alvarez, which I seem to remember briefly from my time again at Anderson's, I think a brand that we started to get on. They do a parlor style, the MPA 66, which is a solid African mahogany body and top.
Sounds good.
With an X brace that is coming in at a rather reasonable £479.
Oh, that sounds
nice,
very,
vintage
very
looking
cool.
Colour.
Oh, that's good. As long as it's vintage looking, I think that's quite high on my list of things as well.
Yeah.
What I really want is a Gibson L00, but they seem to start like £2,200-£2,300.
Yeah. Do you know what? I never ever really gelled with Gibson acoustics. Played a few. Sounded great, you know, a lot of the time, but just never kind of, gelled with them, especially the bigger body ones. I hate the super jumbo. That'd be like my sort of like the ultimate guitar that I just wouldn't want. I think someone's like, have this. I'd be like, well, you know, I'd have it if it was super expensive. You know, I'd sell it and buy something I wanted. But, you know, I just think that the super jumbo, just too big. And I just think they always look a bit clunky to me. Saying that, I love a Gretsch White Falcon, but I think an an acoustic is very different to an electric, in my opinion.
Isotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on isotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 native instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from Isotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using Isotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on isotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the Isotope arsenal.
Yeah, I was always a fan of the jumbos. I thought they were very cool. I love the smallest acoustics and the biggest acoustics. For me, the fact that Oasis played the jumbos always ruined it a little bit for me. They became a little bit too synonymous with that sort of thing, and I hate that band. So that's a real turnoff for me, but they are very, very cool. And certainly when I had one come through the Harlequin Guitar Club when I was doing the shop, I had like a water-damaged old Gibson Jumbo turn up, and it was absolutely lovely. I really got on with it sonically. Should have bought that because it went for, you know, less money than it was worth because it was a bit damaged.
Yeah, I think, but yeah, coming back to my honest advice would be, just try a couple, I think, because
I will.
I don't know.
Where's good for acoustics?
Where's good for acoustics?
Peach? Maybe Peach.
Yeah. I mean, Peach is a lot high end, but you know they've got a good range of low and mid price stuff. There's no sort of like trying to think of shops that I remember having a really big acoustic department. Remember Guitar in Camden having quite a few acoustics? They've got quite a cool acoustic room. Same
with listeners, make suggestions to me if you know any places with great acoustic suggestions. Maybe acoustic only shops, because they would be totally off of our radar, really, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know of any dedicated just acoustic ones, but I'm sure there are some out there. But yeah, I think, yeah, try a couple, because you never know. You might be surprised on the price.
Yeah.
I think that's always the thing, isn't it? You can be like, yeah, sometimes it can be buy cheap, buy twice. Sometimes you can buy something pretty cheap and actually it be a really good instrument. I think with acoustic, you've got nothing to hide, though, have you? You know, if you bought a cheap Squire and you're like, oh, I'm going to change the pickups, I'm going to change the machine heads, I'm going to put a different scratch plate on it, you know, you can kind of twist it into something you want, where an acoustic's got to be good out of the box and a good one, especially a solid top, will sound better with age. So you kind of want to play it a lot and break it in. And I think if you don't do that, I think, yeah, you've got to start off on the right foot, in my opinion.
That is a good point. Okay, well, we'll see. I'm gonna look into it. Now, I wanna talk about something, Matt, that you've that has been quite wonderful. I feel like I almost got a new amplifier this week, thanks to the Boss Katana Mark II. Version 2 software, which kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't even know this was going to be a thing, because to be honest, the Katana Mark II, it really ticks an awful lot of boxes. Like the worrying thing for the Katana Mark II is very, very good, and how much better can you make it before it starts infringing on next tone or other things, more premium bits.
I think it's interesting. I mean, Katana's been out for 6 years now, 2016. Wow. August 2016. It came out a month after I started Roland. And then, you know, we did Mark II in 2019. And again, a lot of people were like, how can you make it better? And obviously there was
it was so good.
We, you know, there were some hardware improvements we could make. But obviously once you get to a point, you're like, we can just add more stuff. But it's like, what can we add that's of real value? And I think a lot of people, you know, are using Katana at home. A lot of people are using it for recording, you know, as an option to go to for a bunch of different things. And there's a bunch of options that are in some of the other products that aren't in some of the lower products like Katana 50 or Katana 100.
Right.
So that's one of the things we wanted to add. And it really is a big update for people who want to use it for kind of recording, mainly because the sort of like cab IRs that are in there, so different mics, different mic positions, different mic distances. So, you know, out of the back, you know, there's a whole bunch of just great options for just good guitar sounds recorded. And I know, obviously,
that's that's more than Fender Tone Master are offering out of the back.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's, to me, has been the big thing for a lot of people, is just having that option and just it sounding really good. And you know, massive shout out to Paul at the Studio Rats. They did a video of it. He kind of got a video out for me on the launch day, because he's just the master at dialing in great guitar sounds.
Yeah,
and he has done a bunch of patches that just... I was just listening to him. I was just like, it just sounds so good. Like, imagine having that like 10 years ago and being able to just like, I wish in some ways I'd had one of those so long ago and just use that to like record. Yeah. 'Cause it's just, there's so many just great sounds in there, and being able to record them and do it over USB or, you know, via line out, especially over USB. I mean, just so good as an interface. Yep. And in some ways, I think that's probably what I should be doing. And I think when I eventually move, that's probably what I will do. You know, I've got an interface and mics and I can plug synths into it and stuff. But I think in some ways, just Katana in and just being able to reamp and, you know, being able to change those sounds so easily.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. And then on top of that, added in the Centaur OD, which is in a bunch of some of our other products, but yeah, adding a bit of a clon in there as well.
It's so good as well. It's so good.
Mm.
Like, I'm so glad that I've got the Mark II and the foot switch as well, which just allows me, it essentially gives me that clon style pedal on the floor. You know, I to my listener, I know lots of things do clon alikes, you know. But just to have it at the price point of a Katana is amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're interested or own a Katana and didn't realize, go and watch Paul, the Studio Rats video. On top of that, one thing that we've also done, which was sort of soft launch and it's been out there and it's found its way onto forums and stuff like that, is people for ages have been crying out for a platform that allows you to upload your own patches that other people could download on a bunch of our products. We've also launched Boss Tone Exchange, which is a platform where you can go on, create an account, and then you can upload your patches for Katana or GT1000 or, you know, whatever. And you can upload them, but you can also download other people's. And Paul from the Studio Rats, he did 10 patches on version 2, and they're all available to download from Boss Tone Exchange. So, download the update for free, download the patches for free, and then away you go. And I just think that's something that we've needed to do for a while, and we've sort of now had the ability to kind of do it. And it's great because it really shows what other people are doing with the stuff that you buy. I think that's really good. It's a great validation of the product you buy, going, oh, there's a whole bunch of great patches that other people have done.
Well, that's it. It's essentially like getting a whole load of new effects.
Yeah.
And for the user. And also, it's a great learning tool. Like, of course, Line 6 have it, that sort of thing, set up for their Helix. And I found that to be a great, like, almost learning tool. When I was trying to make Helix work for bass, I would look through for people who had made bass patches and I would download them, and then I could sort of almost use their patches as a template.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And be like, oh, that's how you've done this. And so it's such a useful thing. It's great that it's now available for Katana. Oh, I'm gonna make some of my own. I'll probably upload my own ones. But
yeah, and I think, yeah, you can just do individual patches or you can do a whole life set. But I think, great, you know, if you're going out there and you're playing in a John Mayer tribute band and you need to set up all of the and you've got all of the John Mayer patches, you can just upload it as one big live set, you know, and then just be able to go in. But like you say, I think it's just really good that you can buy a product and then go, what have other people done? Because it is inspiration, I think. You know,
can you explain, one of the things that Katana has added is a new solo block in the effects chain.
Yes. So one of the things,
how is that different from the boost function that was there before?
Because the solo sits, I kind of like the old boogies. It sits right at the end of everything. So it's like a completely clean boost. It's basically like adding more output volume, I guess, that wouldn't necessarily colour anything else that goes in it. And then you can have, yeah, that to sort of preset and just have it as a volume boost, a clean output volume boost. But the other thing that we've done, actually, which I think is better, is added more effects chains. So you can put things in different orders. So there's a bunch of new effects change, which includes being able to reroute the compressor in a bunch of different places and stuff like that, which is pretty good. Cool. So again, just some more options for recording. And I think that's the main thing. I think obviously we can't, or we have, you know, doing more with the hardware, it's almost like, what more could you do? You know, because so many people have just gone, oh, it's got everything on it, but it's still easy to use. But then, yeah, if you look at like what can you do with the firmware, there's a lot of people saying, oh, it'd be great if it did this, or it'd be great if it did this. So I think that's really nice. Plus adding a new EQ block and stuff on there, whole bunch of great stuff that I think really benefits. Oh, obviously, if you're thinking about, you know, buying a Katana, this might tip you over the edge. But I certainly think for people who I've got one now and kind of maybe want to record with it and are thinking about going to something else, actually, you know, maybe this update will give them a few sounds that's going to make things even better.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about it loads. Maybe we haven't spoken about it for a little while, but, you know, it still is the guitar amp in my office that I plug everything into to test, because it can just be so versatile but so easy to dial things in and create stuff with. And you know, like you mentioned earlier about how imaginative something like this had come out 10 years ago. I know that we are very well embedded in this scene and how many options there are out there. And I know, you know, we have Fractal and Line 6 and even GT1000, things like that are there that can do a whole bunch more. But it's the little things like for my band, because everyone's, especially my guitarist, is quite an old school guy, even though he's playing Katanas, it was great. We were playing this tiny little venue in Cardiff, and of course we've got three keyboards and a sax player to deal with, and the sound engineer turned up with two DIs or something, you know. So, but we actually bring our own keyboard DIs because we realised that that's a lot. But he certainly, it wasn't the DIs. Sorry, he didn't bring enough mics to be able to mic up the drum kit and the guitar amps.
Brilliant.
Which was fantastic. Yeah. And Tim was playing through two Katanas at the time, so he did not have enough mics to mic up two guitar amps, which I thought was an incredibly impressive. You know, considering he got paid for that evening. But fortunately, of course, the Katana has an absolutely fantastic line out that, to be honest, in a small venue like that, is better. It's more valuable than miking up the front of it. You're getting absolutely, you know, a perfect rendition of that sound with the IRs just via a jack out of the back of the Katana, and the fact that you've got that on a £300 amp is very good.
Yeah, indeed, just squeezing a whole lot more value out of the product. And again, yeah, if you've owned one and you've not messed around with the recording side of things, perhaps now is the time, especially if you don't want to go down the plug-in route. You know, plug-ins great, but perhaps, you know, you want to, you know, have a bit of hands-on time with an amp and stuff like that. I think it's really good. Really nice little option for recording.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, another company that that we've been good friends of over the years, and have actually made some stuff for us in the past, Bright Onion. Brightonian. Do you get it? Do you get it? They're from Brighton.
Do you know what? Onion. I never got that. I just thought it was, and I thought it was something to do with Brighton. I thought Bright Onion. I never ever got that. So I feel silly.
Well, Bright Onion Effects are having a beanstalk sale, and Bright Onion Effects aren't your ordinary effects company, dear listener. They make an awful lot of extraordinarily useful utility bits and bobs, and the beanstalk sale is actually massive, really, really substantial. There are some very cool bits in there, like even actually there's like an 8-switch bypass looper box for like £90 in there, which is
interesting,
very reasonable for what it is. But there's the ABYs. We did an ABY with them. There's like active splitters with isolated second outputs, mini triple
this
bypass
is, I mean, you know, massive shout out to James, because he has made all my wildest utility dreams come true over the last, God, must be, I would say nearly 10 years now.
Yeah, you but know, I think all my patch boxes have been
I've got from them. And I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, I have a box of patch boxes upstairs because so often I'll be like, I'll dream up some crazy pedal board and I'll be like, it's got to have this in and out and it's got to be able to do that. And I always just send him a message. I'm like, I need this. And he's like, I can make that happen. And I think the last thing I had, I was like, right, I need to have input, two outputs, and an effects loop. And the input and one output need to be buffered. It needs to sit in this orientation. I need an LED on it. And he's like, I can make that happen. And he turns it around in like a week.
Yeah.
And, and he sits down and designs these things. And just looking at the sale they've got now, I mean, people just jump on there and just get some of the stuff at crazy price. I mean, it's got a lot of crazy colored like AB switches and stuff like that. AB switch in blue and white, very funky blue and white, £25. It's amazing.
Yeah, the even like the mini dual momentary foot switches, they're £20.
Yeah, it's got some interfaces in pink, which I, you know, always like, think that's amazing.
Mini loopers.
Yeah.
They're pretty handy. So what is the mini looper do? Matt, what I need is a small clean blend. So I need to be able to get clean blends out of a couple of pedals.
Right.
And I can do that with the Boss LS2 by like looping the patch of one of them, but it takes up a Boss size space, which is a big space. And I can do it with the Tyler Deluxe by KMA, but that's even bigger. You know, so I just need it for like a pedal. So I'm trying to get it as small as possible. Is there a thing that does
there
that?
There is two things that I can recommend, because I have both. So Bright Onion do one first, and I'm just trying to find it on their site, and it is called they basically make a product which is, it's guitar, you've got a loop on there, so you go guitar in and then out, and then there's a loop, and then the loop gives you dry signal and wet signal. So
do you have a rotary control to blend those?
You have two volume pots basically. And then the idea is that I think it's called, is it called the blender? That would make sense, wouldn't it? Maybe doesn't make them anymore. Definitely makes them. Yes, he does. It's called the blender looper. So effectively, you've got an input and an output, and then a send and return for a guitar effect. And then you have two volume pots, a dry and a wet. And then you have a phase switch for the wet. Because obviously, you've got an analog dry signal and a wet signal, they might be out of phase. So it allows you to put them into phase. So what's really good about that, I use it for something like my H9, which doesn't have like analog dry through. So sometimes you want to have a bit more of the dry signal coming through on delay. So you can have like a completely straight through dry and then blend in some of the wet signal. It's really good for something like a whammy. You can have still have your original signal and stuff like that. So yeah. And then again, you can use it for things like drives and stuff.
There are so many great fuzzes and distortions out there, and I sit and I play them with my bass at home, and I'm like, God, I love this so much. And then I take it to a band practice, you know, where of course is the first time you're going to really hear the sort of, I guess the sonic scope of that pedal being on. And 9 times out of 10, you hit it on and you disappear in the mix because all your low ends been sucked out of it, especially with fuzzes and drives. And especially as I like, most bass drives are very, very modern. They've got this real scoopy sort of dark glassy feel, which is very desirable at the moment, but not for me. I want mine to be like clangy and old school and kind of like guitar drive sound.
Yeah.
But without losing my low end. So something like this would be absolutely perfect for kind of just opening up other pedals that I would like to use.
And then, you know, I think that's, I would say, is your sort of more budget friendly one. That is, they're like 85.
Oh, yes, you said there were two options.
Yeah, so the other one, which is another one I've got, which is the Gig Rig Wetter Box. Now, this one is slightly different because actually you've got an input and an output. You've got an input and a stereo output, and then you've got two effects loops. So if you want to blend wet signal with dry signal, you just put one effect in one loop and then you leave the other one completely clean. So they connect when there's nothing plugged in, so the circuit's complete. And then you've got a gain control for each, and then you've got a mix control, so you can then mix between A and B. And you can then add in like an expression pedal, for example, so you can blend between how much dry or wet signal you want with your foot, which is quite cool. You can either mix, so you can go between all dry and all wet, or you can go blend and it blends some of the wet signal on top of the dry signal. What's very cool about that one is that it also has a remote input. So if you're using something like an MS3, for example, you could still have the MS3 program an output, you know, so a control output, like an amp control output, and turn on the pedal remotely, which is quite cool. So a lot more options on that, but a lot more expensive. Double the price at $189.
I see.
So it depends how much you really want to.
A clean, you know, a clean sound alongside some of my crazy distortions.
Yeah, so I think that would be the one. The Bright Onion one, definitely very, very good. There's also, I think this is probably more for delays, but there's also the One Control, do the minimal series. They do the Blender Trail pedal, which allows you to put a pedal in a loop and then you've got trail. So if you're using like an analog delay that's got that has true bypass, it obviously you get no delay trails or anything like that. So there's a few options out there, but James at Bright Onion, and then obviously you get to pick the color and the design and everything. It's always very good for that, I think.
Yeah, very cool indeed. I think I'm going to go for that. Thank you. Thank you, Matty. That is good. But yes, dear listener, brightonion.co.uk. Check it out. The Beastock sale is very good.
Yes, and you'll find indeed. Stuff. And if you have crazy ideas, and James will probably hate me for saying this, I'm sure you can message him and he will certainly help you out. But as he puts on his website, every pedal is made to order. So, you know, he is... he is definitely one for helping out.
Very good. Very cool indeed. Now, we got sent a new amplifier a couple of weeks ago, actually, and I've been meaning to talk about it. I might have mentioned it, but I don't think I've spoken about it in any depth. I bumped in to Victory Amplifiers at the Birmingham show, and they were like, oh, we've been meaning to give you a shout and send you an amplifier to check out. So they have, which I'm very, very excited about. I'm sure I asked for the copper, but they sent the Duchess. But that's fine. That's fine. So it's I love the Duchess. I think just for having those Fendery cleans from the Duchess, I think I would have preferred this anyway. But dear listener, let me tell you about it. So the V4 stuff from Victory, this is their pedal board amplifiers. They are big, proper pedal board amplifiers. Like, they're like £800, but I think they're like the most popular thing Victory have ever done. I think they're outselling everything else they've done, you know, 10 to 1 sort of thing. So pedal board amplifier, but it's very big because it's got a valve preamp in there, and it is running into a digital power stage, like 180 watts digital power stage. They do one for each of their amp types, so you're getting like a fly rig version of any of their amps in a very, very usable package. And what's great is that they've partnered up with Two Notes. So you've got cab sims direct off of the amplifier. There are like balanced line outs and headphones out on there. It's all of their wonderful Victory amplifier-ness, completely designed to be A, a fly rig, B, the ultimate recording solution. And just, I guess, in general, taking valve amps to this, what we've been talking about really with Katana and stuff like that, this sort of modern usable thing. Hey, if you still like valve stuff, dear listener, but you love all the options people are getting digitally, this is a good halfway house. Obviously, once again, it is still a digital power stage, but digital power stages are very good these days. It's a fully loaded valve preamp, and it sounds great, like proper Fendery cleans, but then I guess more like Marshall-y drive tones.
Yeah, I think for me, the great thing is with Victory and coming from the kind of background of the Comfort design, and you know, just someone who really knows how to make and design amplifiers, and just being given the kind of rein to do what they want. And I think, you know, lots of ideas, and then someone also sort of pulling the rein slightly and going like, valve amps are great, but as you say, we need to do something that perhaps, you know, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, there's a lot of people out there now who have never plugged into a quote unquote real amplifier. And I was telling the story the other day about when we interviewed Pliny at ArcTangent in 2016. And we were like, oh, talk about the gear that you've used. And he went, I have only ever played an Ibanez guitar into an ME50. Mm. And we were like, okay. Yeah. And, you know, and that's just how it is. Like, lots of people, you know, there's just more and more options. And like you say, I think this is a good in the middle, so it's on all the time. As you say, there's a balanced out, so you could run a cab sim straight into a PA, for example. You've got a send and return, you've got a line out, so you've got a bunch of options in there for recording at home. But yeah, having that valve preamp in there makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And the cab sims are the presets, because it's all the Two Notes, obviously, software, so you can open up, you can edit using Two Notes, you can edit those. But the presets that come with the Duchess have been created by Pete Honore, which is
that's cool.
Which is very cool.
So just so I'm clear, and I guess clear for the listeners, so there's no cab output on this, right? Or is there? I couldn't see from the pictures.
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
So you've got a normal cab output plus...
That is exactly how I've been running it, actually, straight into a cab.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you can go cab out. You've also then got the cab sim out, which is over a XLR. You've then also got balance line out and a headphone out as well. And then you can actually plug it in via USB and update or change the...
It's just
cab sims as well, right?
It's just ridiculous. If you can, yeah, exactly.
And then a foot switch for tremolo.
You know how I've been going through this whole like, maybe technology is bad and all old stuff is actually good again. I sort of feel like I've come out this digital obsession that I was in.
I think, like we were just saying with Katana, I think there's a lot of people out there, perhaps from the kind of our crowd, that don't want to do everything in the box, in the computer, and want to do, and still want to have a bit of hands-on, you know, touch with the actual product. And the good thing is with Victory is that if you then kind of go, well, that's great, but I don't want to sacrifice the amp I'm plugging into, I want to do something, you know, take it a step further back from that, but I don't want to change my whole amp. They also... Do they still make... I think they do, unless I'm missing it. They still do the standard pedal version, right? Which is the preamp pedal that you can run into the
front. Yeah, I don't want to... I feel like these were the upgrade from that, so I don't know if they've stopped doing them, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to say one way or the other.
Yeah, I can't... I'm just trying to look, because I was trying to confirm on their website. I think perhaps in some they do and some they don't. Maybe I've... Yeah, because V4 the copper, V5 before the copper guitar amp. Yeah, so I think you can still buy the preamp pedals, but you can't as well as the amplifiers.
I see.
I'm just going to confirm that by checking a retailer, because yeah, you might just want the preamp sound of the Sheriff or something like that.
One of the things I really like about this, because this amp is just sat on my desk, I plumbed it into my interface via the cab sim, and now I can just plug stuff in and get like an actual like valve amp just straight into my DAW, which is very, very cool. But when it first turned up, I wanted to run it through a cab. And I realized, because it's like a pedal, dear listener, but it's got these big chunky like amp feet on it on the underside. So it sits really well like on a cab. So you could just use this as a head, like as a normal head. And then you just have the controls top down like you would on a Katana or, you know, a Blues Junior.
Yeah, and I guess at that point, you know, you can then still have the feeling of going through a cab. But you've also got a lot more options for great recorded guitar sounds, which is kind of what you want. It looks like the Duchess is the only one that doesn't come in the preamp pedal version, but you can get the Kraken, the Copper, the Jack, and the Sheriff all in the V4 pedal version. So they have the kind of on-off foot switches, they have the channel switching, but the outputs are input and then amp output, but then you, in standalone mode, but you can also run it in amp through mode, which means that it runs like four cable method. This becomes the preamp of your amplifier, but then you're still using your valve amp's power amp. And that is the big difference. So what you've got is the full amplifier, and then there's just a preamp version as well. And I'm just looking here, and it's just reminded me, Audio Kitchen fake plastic trees. Have you still got that, or did we have it on loan? I'm just looking at it again.
I do have it.
I need to try it.
A funny thing is, I was like sitting the two of them next to each other, and I was like, "This the Victory is absolutely fantastic. It's obviously quite huge comparatively, and obviously it has a whole bunch of features that you don't have on the fake plastic trees." But I was a bit like, damn, the fake plastic trees does really do a good job of this sort of thing, you know, in a far more compact package. I don't think I've ever heard anything as good as fake plastic trees. Just as like, I just love it for Edge of Breakup, or I think the next up, we do have this one online. I'm thinking about just buying it. Maybe I will. But I think if next time I go into a studio for bass, I'd probably just want to use this, plug straight into it and go, you know, just straight into the desk.
Right.
Because I did some like sample recording of just using that, a bass guitar, fake plastic trees. I shoved a compressor on the other end. And it just sounded sounded like a massive, aggressive stack, you know, and it sounds, you know, better for guitar than it does for bass, but it was just amazing. It's just a wonderful product.
Nice. Yeah, I put on our notes before we start. It's the one thing I hate, and at the moment I kind of plugged my pedal board yesterday. Sometimes I'm just like, right, drive pedals. I'm like, how many drive pedals can you have on a single board? Do you cover all the bases, or do you just go, this is what I'm thinking today, is like, do I cover all the bases? So you've got like a light gain and then like a overdrive and then like a fuzz and then like a crazy fuzz or something like that. And then I'm always struggling between like one of each, and I'm like, actually, should I just have three or four drive pedals that I just really like, and then not worry that, oh, well, I can't put that one on the board because it's not got light enough gain or whatever. And I just sort of... I finally plugged in the Boneyard. Sorry, Thorpe, it's taken long. It just sounds so good. And I've like... And a part of what's spurred this on is I was playing my pedal board and I was like, right, I've got the Chase Bliss Factory, which sounds amazing. But actually, I remember saying this about the Automatone Fuzz, is having a preset volume control per patch is really annoying, because sometimes you're playing at a lower volume, but the patch is like set with like cranked volume, and then obviously that might vary between two, and then I'm like, am I actually using like six or seven different Fuzz Factory sounds? I'm like, no, what I want is a kind of glitchy, like underpowered fuzz sound, And I'm like, the Boneyard does that because it's got the feed control. It kind of sags a lot of the voltage out. So you kind of get a bit of that. Sure, I miss the Matt Bellamy sort of Velcro fuzz sound, but I find it annoying, and I understand why they done it, but I wish there was a way that you could turn the volume control off from being MIDI controlled, and it was like global on the Chase right. Bliss pedals. So when I step on it, if it's too loud, I could just turn it up or turn it down to where I need it. And then when I go to another patch, it's at that same volume. Because sometimes you might also set that, you know, you might not realize, but two or three patches are slightly different volume. And then it's sort of like you've got to turn it, it sort of jumps up. And I'm like, as long as you've got a pedal, you can kind of quickly go down and go like, cool, right, that's changed. I might turn it off. And then when I come back to it, it's kind of still there. But obviously when you're sending MIDI signals all the time, you might go to one patch and then come back to another, and it's going to reload that patch with the previous volume. You're not going to sit there and go, I've got to quickly like save this new patch, you know, which is not as easy to do on something like the Bliss Factory, because you've got to hold down both buttons and then send it a MIDI signal. Do you see what I mean? So just from a kind of like messing around, great. But I'm thinking, like, actually, you know what? I might just take it off the board and just, you know, put that back on. Then I sort of plugged the Big Muff in. I'm like, man, I've got this, like, 70s op-amp Big Muff. And I'm like, maybe I should just, you know, every time I plug it in, I'm just like, man, I feel like I need to play some Smashing Pumpkins. I'm like, why haven't I got this on the board? And it's like, because I've got three other fuzzes. And I'm like, do I need three fuzzes? You know, what if I want an overdrive sound? And I'm like, actually, I might as well just put on what I want on. But the great thing about the Boneyard is it's just nice and responsive to the volume control. And I think that's what I like doing.
It's just simple.
Yeah, I like having that kind of, right, you crank up the volume, crazy fuzz sound, turn it down, a little bit more of an overdrive. I'm still using the Revival Trem quite a lot, but I just hate picking drive pedals because I've...
So what are the drive pedals that you got at the moment?
Joe, too many.
No, I meant on the board.
On the board.
Not in your total collection.
Say, I was like, what ones am I trying? I'm like, well, I've got like 100. Which, on a side note, I see that on Reverb now you can add your gear, which is quite a handy thing as a like checklist of everything that you own. And then it's like Discogs. You can obviously add it to your collection. And when you want to sell it, you can just be like, oh, I'll sell this and create a listing really quickly.
It's quite handy for insurance.
It's great for insurance, and that's why I've done it on Discogs, because my record collection, like when last time I looked, I was like, oh, I should probably insure this. But yeah, and so I was thinking about I should log all my gear on there, but the pedals I've got on the pedal board at the moment, Chase Bliss Factory. I've then got the Boss FZ2, which will never leave the pedal board because it is the best octave fuzz, just amazing, just absolutely love that thing. And then Revival Trem, or I think it's called something different now, from Origin Effects. And then the Roadrunner, which again I absolutely love. It's a great overdrive. But
is yours the big box?
It's the big box one. But then I'm like, I sort of miss the op-amp Big Muff. You know, maybe I'll take the Chase Bliss off and put something else on it. You know, we were talking about the Pelotor the other day from Pelican Noise Works.
What a pedal.
I pulled out my old Marshall Governor. And I was like, oh, man, the Governor. And then I was sort of spurred on to get that out because I was reading an article with... Ed O'Brien, that was like the first, you know, when they first went out and bought a bunch of gear, like Johnny Greenwood built the Shredmaster, he had the Governor. And I was like, oh man, those sounds of Radiohead, so good. And I just think so often I get tied up and being like, right, I need to have an analog delay and a digital delay. I need one pedal that does this. And I'm like, sometimes I'm building pedal boards with not actually the gear that I just want to use, the gear that I think I should have on the pedal board, if that makes sense. Hmm. You know, from a, and I'm like, it doesn't, because I'm not really playing any gigs. I might as well have pedals to just make all the best sounds, because that's all I'm going to use. So I don't know. I might rebuild the board, might put the Big Muff on it. And then I've got this great Proco Rat that Tate Effects modded. I'm like, I put that on there, and I'm like, I can't have like four like really thick fuzzes. You've got to have at least one overdrive. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, I should put the Dane on there. So you end up, this is the problem. You end up with...
You end up just with a wall of drives.
Yeah, and you just end up with so much stuff that you're like, I don't know what to put on. And, you know, kind of when I build a big pedal board, I'm like, I want everything to stay on it for a while. And that's the thing, I don't want to rip my pedal board apart. Spent so long recently, obviously, putting it together. But I'm just like, you know, when you plug it in, you're like, all the clean sounds great. And then the drive stuff, you're like, I'm missing something. And I think what I'm missing is a bit of fun. And the Chase Bliss Factory is loads of fun, but I just don't ever use the MIDI side of it. And I'm like,
what about the hologram?
Oh, the hologram's great, but it's a funky, you know, glitchy delay thing, isn't it?
Oh, I consider that pedal a bit of fun.
Yeah, it is. I think the thing about the Bliss Factory is, I think it's just that MIDI volume control that annoys me. And maybe I'll email Joel and just be like, is there any way at some point this would ever be updated so that you could disable that and it was just a global volume? I'd like the same for the Bliss Factory, but also for the Automatone. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just so, like, yeah, if you're at a gig, like, yeah, you might have a drive sound where you want a bit more volume. But if you've gone to the gig and then you found out that five of the presets is for some reason just not loud enough or whatever, or you've been messing around with it at home and then you get to a rehearsal, you're like, right, I've now got to go and save all these other presets with different volume control. It would be.
I did that with the drive, the Automatone drive. When I set that all up through the MS3, had the MS3 like MIDI triggering all of the presets on it, took it to band practice, and essentially, yeah, the levels were just sort of like out with everything. And I'm there with like five different stages of drive trying to adjust them all a little bit and then resave them. I'm like, oh,
I think in the studio, in some ways, it doesn't matter because, and again, you can do some cool stuff with it. Like you can do a kind of, you can do like a false trem with it and stuff through the ramp control and all of that. But I'm like, I don't want to do that. I just want to use it like a fuzz factory. Maybe I should just buy a fuzz factory.
That's the solution. I mean, you can't go wrong with a fuzz factory.
You know, I think ZVEX were the first boutique brand, the first effects brand I think I really fell in love with. You know, I just remember, you know, we're talking, what, 2005? You know, they've been a company for like 10 years at that point. Obviously, the internet in its sort of formative years. And I just remember like Fuzz Factory and stuff. That was always the one. They were always doing these crazy, like, custom finishes and sparkles. And I was like, that just, you know, always spoke to me as such a great brand. And they've just consistently cranked stuff out for, what, 25 years now?
Yeah, and it always looked great. I remember them making, like, the first good, like, really good bass drives in the Woolly Mammoth and the Mastertron? Mastertron, that was it, yeah. Yeah, they sounded incredible on bass. And there was nothing really, like, it was, at the time, it was like that or an ODB 3, you know?
wasn't many places you could buy them from. Do you know what I mean? I remember Denmark Street, you know, in London, that was like one dealer there. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And the one thing I always wanted, never bought one, the Nano Tube Head, which was their like 0.5 watt valve amp. I was always like, that is cool. Do you know what I mean? It's so diddy and it's like fits in the palm of your hand. It just had a volume control. And I was like, it's just very, very cool. But yeah, maybe that's what I'm missing. Maybe I'm just missing the normal Fuzz Factory. Or if any listener knows if there's a way to bypass the volume control on the Bliss Factory or you know whatever, let me know if there's a way around it. I did try and send a specific MIDI message for the volume every time, but again, if it's not quite right, got to adjust it. Then you've got to save it. You know, would just be good.
Long-winded. Mm.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Yes, exactly. Well, that does actually bring us to the end of this week's episode of Guitar Nerds, Dear Listener. Me and Matt are going to go and Matt and I are going to go over to the Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where we're going to record an extra episode. We do that every week, dear listener, and you can become a Patreon supporter and listen to our extra episodes. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. That gets you this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you access to our Patreon special episodes and our entire back catalogue. $10 gets you the lot, plus I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. This week on the Patreon episode, we're going to go talk about my pedal board. I've also been hunting down some rare Boss and Electro Harmonix pedals that I want to talk about.
Very nice. We can also talk about me buying the most expensive, effectively.
Oh my goodness, how did I forget about
this? We'll save it for the Patreon, but if you want to hear about a stupidly expensive purchase purely for the reason of got to catch them all, then tune into the Patreon.
yes, do that. Join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. Get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Bye-bye. I'm going to sing you all about my Patreons. Yes, so I am going to sing you all about my Patreons. Yeah. They're really lovely people and they have a fantastic
yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.